Thank you, Karen. That was quite a lengthy reading. I'm glad I didn't have to do it. So this superstitious guy buys himself a Maserati, and he decides he needs a blessing on his fast-driving sports car. So he stops by the first church he sees, which happens to be Presbyterian, and he asks the minister if she would bless his new Maserati. And the minister asks, "What's a Maserati?" Disgusted, the guy walks out of her office and finds himself a Catholic church. So he asks the priest to bless his new Maserati. And the priest asks him, "What's a Maserati?" After leaving the Catholic church, totally upset and about to give up, the guy walks over to his brand new car, and he notices someone standing beside it with great admiration. "Is this your car? I'm the minister at the Congregational Church, and I heard you driving this fantastic Maserati." It was coming down the street, and the guy says, "You're a minister?" And the reply came, "You bet I am. I'm a congregational minister, and throughout my life I've had a great desire to drive around in a Maserati. Would you take me for a ride?" And the guy was ecstatic, and off they went around town. After a while, the congregational minister said, "Would it be possible for me to drive your Maserati?" So with great enthusiasm, the guy said, "Of course you can, but under one condition. Would you give a blessing on my new Maserati?" And the congregational minister said, "What's a blessing?" Now you know what congregationalism and, I suppose, the United Church of Christ, what it's all about. And maybe some of you have already heard that joke. It's a good, clean joke. Not all congregational jokes are like that, as are sometimes told around a fire periodically. But now that the elections are concluded, and for the next 4 years, we won't have to hear any more about politics. So possibly all of us could use a blessing. Even though a blessing is like a political babble, one of those religious words which gets repeated over and over and over again. Grace is another one of those words, and often when sharing a meal, I'm not sure whether to give a prayer or a blessing or a table grace. I don't know, what else would you call it? Any other ideas? What? Thanks. Okay. Thanks. I'll use that the next time. Yeah, Robin. In what? Now, you know, in ministry, one of the privileges I have when visiting you in a home or a nursing facility or hospital, it involves offering blessings, typically at the conclusion of the conversation and the visit. There's a novel I have next door amongst the many I've been reading. This is Marilyn Robinson. She's wrote this book called Gilead. And there's a passage where a minister named John Ames, he says this to his son, "I don't wish to be urging the ministry on you, but there are some advantages to it you might not know to take account of if I did not point them out. Not that you have to be a minister to confer a blessing. You are simply much more likely to find yourself in that position. It's the thing people expect of you." Well, not necessarily. Not here at the Cadillac, First Congregational UCC. I have to very gently get a sense through the discussion with any one of you whether or not a blessing is helpful or hurtful. We do have members and friends of our church, whose journeys are atypical and religious experiences varied. I know that's a shock to all of you. I realize that, but it never hurts to offer a blessing, however, in our congregation, it may be gently refused. I remember one visit with a gentleman here in the church, and I did offer up a blessing, but instead he just said, "Why don't you just go away?" Which I did. My visit, though, had been rather lengthy, something akin to the first scripture reading that Karen shared. So sometimes you just need to know when it is time to leave. Right, Catherine? You have told me that frequently. Now, that Genesis story, it's interesting because the blessing comes about through deceit. It was ancient standard practice for the first male in the family to receive the blessing. How many of, now we honored the veterans, how many of you are the first, not woman, first male? Okay, Ralph? Okay. So just two of us? Oh, Michael, Don, okay. Let's get the identity going there. You see, that's where it's supposed to go, but not in this particular case. Now, you know, it's not fair, obviously, but property, the majority would go to the first son, et cetera, et cetera, the blessing, the birthright, all of these things. Father Isaac, due to his blindness, gave his blessing to Jacob, his second son by birth, due to a plot contrived by Isaac's wife, Rebekah. She favored Jacob over the first son, Esau. And again we see the future of Israel determined by strong and focused women who changed the course of history. Incidentally, once the blessing is given, it can't be retracted. This blessing possesses great power not only in the material sense but also in the spiritual sense. God's power and divinity are all wrapped up in that blessing, and therefore the person on the receiving end becomes favored and holy. The dictionary defines blessing as sanctifying or making holy, invoking divine favor, preserving from evil, as well as conferring well-being and prosperity and profound respect. Whereas Matthew has Jesus introduce the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, or the nine blessings, Luke has Jesus contrast four blessings with four woes or curses. So, finally, I'm getting to the scripture reading, the sermon scripture reading. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Blessings and woes. It's odd language. How can people living in poverty, hunger, misery, and exclusion be blessed? And likewise, how can people living with riches and joy and fame be cursed? Does this have to do with some promise of reversal of fortune, whether in this life or in the next? For a hungry person living in poverty and misery, this is a rather shaky premise. Is there a concrete answer why some are blessed and others cursed, provided in the scriptures? Well, for those who suffer, while so much of Scripture provides reassurance and hope, as well as the message framed by Viktor Frankl, not where does the tragedy come from, but where does it lead? Well, sometimes I suppose there just are no answers to life's unfairness, why good things happen to bad people or why bad things happen to good people. Simultaneously, other portions of Scripture are directed to those in power, reminding us of our responsibilities to use our gifts wisely. When we have great wealth and health and respect, do we sit tight and relish our blessings, thanking God for all that we've received? Possibly. But then what do we do with our gift of blessing? Power carries great responsibility. Do we curse the world? Do we bless the world? Today we have many celebrations. It's honoring our veterans. It's a harvest feast. We conclude our stewardship campaign. Karma reminded me of that. I have a prayer to share with you prior to our meal. Yes, you get another prayer or a blessing or a grace or thanks. Maybe it's the way I was raised, but for me, prayer is longer than a blessing. When I hear someone saying, I'm going to do a prayer, it means it's going to be another half hour. But a blessing, you know, it's shorter. It's something like, peace be upon you. While an invocation prayer or pastoral prayer may, at least for me, last, it can be a minute or so. Unfortunately, many prayers can last forever. There was a minister who came to our former church, and his prayer would be exactly the length of the sermon. Now, Jesus gave us an all-encompassing prayer, and it's not that long. The benediction at the conclusion of worship is basically a blessing. And consider the musical benediction written and played by Margie each week. This, too, is a gift to us as we leave our church home to be of service in the world. It goes, go out now in peace with spirit anew, for surely God's grace is living in you. Reach out with God's love through joy or pain. The shepherd will keep you till we see you again. Perfect. Thank you, Margie. And whether in words or in song, closing our service in this way is a gift of blessing where we go forth into the world to serve in the example of Jesus. Now we think of the many blessings we have received, which may be material or education or health or family or friends. In particular, we often consider events in our lives that have conferred blessing upon us by people who swoop down and help us when we are in desperate straits. As we approach the season of Thanksgiving, we ought to recall and give thanks for the many blessings that have come our way, especially when we may feel in the present that all is helpless and the future is hopeless. Can you think of any people who came into your lives at times when you were desperate or most in need? Just think and remind yourself today of those people. Now, I have a story in conclusion I wanted to share. Catherine is here, so she can say it's legitimate and it's not something I just made up. You'll get some of those made-up stories later. Many years ago, when our kids were quite young, we decided to travel by car to Grandma's house on the evening of December 25th. By the way, that's Christmas. It just so happened that Christmas was on a Friday that year, and Grandma's house was located in Deltona, Florida. It was in the mid-90s. Our kids were young, and we were all excited about going to Disney World in Florida. We left after dinner with plans to find a hotel in Georgia the next day. I like to drive all night, by the way. I would have made a great truck driver, I think, but here I am. Anyway, little did we anticipate either a massive snowstorm or car problems on our journey. And both of these coalesced in the wee hours of the morning at a little town off I-75 in Corinth, Kentucky. The snow was getting worse and blinding us. Weather conditions, they were below zero. And soon, a certain engine smell and rising heat indicator were signs we had better stop and find a motel or get stuck by the side of the freeway in the cold. With steam pouring out of the car hood, an exit sign miraculously appeared. We took the first ramp off the freeway. There was a small hotel, no vacancy sign. We drove across the overpass to a trucker's gas station, the only place with lights on at that hour of the night. An elderly night attendant working there came out, checked the engine. He said to me that we wouldn't be traveling anywhere for the rest of the night because of what he diagnosed as a bad water pump. He also said there would not be any rooms available at inns in the area because the one we had visited had closed down several years before. But he did say there was room available in one of the truckers' showers where it would be warm for the rest of the night. This Kentucky gentleman even had blankets available to keep the four of us warm while sleeping in the trucker's shower room. Do you on a tile floor. I didn't have that in the text, but I will add things. Just feed into this, Kath. Feed into this. Talk about, what about the angels and the stars in the sky, you know? Yeah, the three Kentucky guys with their gifts. No, let's not go there. That's embellishment. Embellishment makes for an interesting story. No, there weren't any, but it was Kentucky. The four of us woke up some hours later at dawn with the same man indicating he had called a mechanic friend who could work on our car and fix the water pump situation. And soon a young man with a thick Kentucky accent arrived, analyzed the car, diagnosed the bad water pump, and said all the regular places were closed because of the Christmas weekend. While he and I drove to a nearby town to find a water pump for our particular car, Kath and the kids stayed in the trucker's cafe having breakfast. He and I stopped at an auto parts place, even though it was locked up tight. But of course, the young man had the keys. That's what they do there. Everybody has keys to every other place in Kentucky. He went in and came out with a replacement water pump, and we drove back to the gas station. To replace a water pump and fix our car problem, apparently you have to take the entire engine apart. It took this guy 5, maybe 6 hours to finish the job, mostly alone, though I suppose I was helping by holding various parts. He told me to stay away from the car. But I did tell him a little bit about religion, and it didn't seem to irritate him. When the job was done, he charged me $50 for the water pump and $100 for the labor, which I later found out was about one-fourth of what we would have paid back here in Michigan. After taking down the address of the place, and after we made our trip to Florida and back, I wrote a letter to the elderly night attendant to thank him and his young friend for this wonderful gift, this holiday blessing, as well as the unbelievable hospitality provided by the good Corinthian people in Corinth, Kentucky. So don't say anything bad about the Corinthians. I share this story because it does relate to who we are as a congregation and how there are so many opportunities, choices that we face day in and day out to be a blessing to others. In fact, Paul the Apostle begins most of his letters with a blessing involving grace and peace prior to moving into a discussion about whatever conflicts are of concern in Rome or Galatia or Corinth, Ephesus, and so forth. And while he offers a blessing to build them up in the midst of division and struggle and despair, he urges them to recognize the variety of gifts which they possess, and encourage them to make use of these blessings and to fight against injustice, neglect, and evil. And further, he typically adds that they should give thanks in all circumstances. So in the season approaching Thanksgiving, as we are reminded of the many spiritual gifts we already possess, we are likewise challenged to take all that we have and share these resources, talents, gifts of blessing with the world as we follow Jesus. Amen. Now, let's take some time in silence, and I'll share a meditation blessing. And this blessing is written by Rebecca Parker, the former president of the Star King Divinity School.